saying not telling me where I'm leaving, just telling me where I'm going. What the main question sort of behind all this is, why is the parsha called Vayetze? What's the significance of Vayetze? And just to answer, usually like to keep that cat in the bag until the end, like the big finish. But the truth is that the Sfasemis here, Sfasemis, who's the Sfasemis? Gera Rebbe. Which Gera Rebbe? Second Gera Rebbe. Okay, the Chiddush HaRim is the first Gera Rebbe. Talmid Muvak of the Kutzker. Chiddush HaRim, the first Gera Rebbe, lost all 13 of his children during his lifetime. And one of his children, Avraham Mordechai, who he also buried during his lifetime, had children. The oldest was a Sfasemes, Rabbi Yehuda laid an altar, and he succeeded his grandfather as the Rebbe. He was 19 years old when his grandfather passed away. He waited 4 years. They wanted to be the Rebbe already at 19, but you guys are 19. You know that it's not such a good idea to be Rebbe yet. And he wanted a little space. And then at 24, at 23, 4 years later, he became Rebbe. Sfas Emes, this is the first year he was Rebbe, Tafresh Lamed Bet, which is 1872. So he says here, the Bevadai Hayitzia Zu Hachana Be'itza Al Hagolos. The parsha is called Vayetze, and this is really the theme of what we're going to talk about. The parsha is called Vayetze because this parsha is about going into Galus, about leaving Eretz Yisrael, going into Chutz La'aretz, leaving, and it's only the zchus and the zchut of Yaakov and his ability to overcome and sort of maintain his connection and commitment in Chutz La'aretz, despite all the challenges, what gives us a kiyum in Chutz La'aretz. It's what allows you, us, all of us, to go to Chutz La'aretz and actually maintain a connection, as difficult as it is. Being outside of Eretz Yisrael, being outside the place where Eidei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Eireishis Hashanah Achris Hashanah, the place that God's eyes are, and protection is here. To think about that 367 rockets were fired last night, and one person was killed, and he was a Palestinian who just happened to be in the wrong place. He's a Kablan, and he didn't go home for the night. That was the one person that was killed. There were Jews that were injured. There was a soldier that was very seriously injured in that bus that was hit. But all 50 other soldiers had gotten off the bus in time. But do you understand the hashgacha that is in this country? That the fact that most of you didn't even know what was going on till late last night. So in Chutz La'aretz there are tremendous challenges, and this parsha is about facing those challenges. Yaakov faces those challenges in Chutz La'aretz and overcomes them, and that's what Vayetze. That's why the parsha is called Vayetze, because it's more about leaving Eretz Yisrael than it is about where he's going. The challenges of leaving, and most of you will be leaving at some point. Hopefully before Michelle will come. Before you won't have to. But if the case is that you will have to, then it's in this parsha you find the challenges and the prayers, the tefillot that Yaakov has in trying to overcome the challenges that every Jew faces when leaving Eretz Yisrael. Another difficulty here in the pasuk. The next pasuk is Vayifka b'makom. Not so much a difficulty. Vayifka b'makom v'yelon sham kiva shemesh. Vayikach miyavnei makom v'yosem v'yashosov v'yashkev. V'yashkev v'yishkav b'makom ahu. Vayifka b'makom says the Gemara, that he arrived at the place in Pegia Aloshan Tfila. From here we learn that Yaakov was metakein tfilat arvit. It's at this point that he institutes the tfila, the arvit tfila. Avram Avinu was metakein tfilat shacharit. Vayashkim Avram Baboker. Mincha was established by Yitzchak. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuch Basadeh. And here is where Yaakov is metakein tfilat arvit. And the question is asked by many, the Siva Sholem included, why now? Yaakov is 77 years old. He couldn't daven Maariv till now. He couldn't. He was 63 years in his father's home, in Yitzchak's home. He couldn't find time to daven Maariv then. 14 years he went afterwards, according to Chazal, Yeshua Shem Ve'Eber. Right? 14 years he couldn't daven Maariv. Okay? He couldn't daven Maariv. Just now when he goes, here's where he's been talking to his Arvis, Tafka here. Why now? Let's leave that question just hanging there for a minute, or for a few. Continues along by Yechalom, V'inei Sulam Utsav Arksav Roshom Agi HaShamayma, V'inei Malachei Elohim Olim V'yordimbo. He has a dream. He has a dream, and in that dream he sees, what does he see? Angels going up and down the ladder. Okay? Look at Rashi here. You have the Rashi here on the right side here. Okay? Olim V'yordimbo. Says Rashi, you all know this Rashi, you learned it since you were children. Olim tchila v'achakach yordim. What's the difficulty in the pasuk? Why are they going up first? They should be coming down. Why should they be coming down first? They're angels coming from heaven, right? So olim tchila v'achakach yordim. They're going up and then they're coming down. Malachim shalivo be'aretz ein yotzim chutzlaretz va'alul rakia v'yardu malachei chutzlaretz. So those malachim that were with him in Eretz Yisrael, they can't go to Chutz La'aretz. They go up the ladder. That's why Olim first, because the malachim are with him. And now new malachim are coming down the ladder. I would imagine on the other side, not to knock the other angels off. Why they need a ladder? I don't know. And the other angels are coming down the ladder, because those are new malachim going with him to Chutz La'aretz. So Olim V'yardim. Now, Rashi, this is the Medrash that Rashi is quoting. Okay? Rashi had a grandson, Rashbam. Okay? Who, the Rashbam was known as a Pashtan. He always tried to, he rarely quoted a Medrash, he didn't have to. And the Rashbam here says, look at the Rashbam here, the Rashbam's right underneath it. It's the third to last line. It says Olim LeYordim. Lefi Apshat Ein LeDakdek B'Mashahikdim Olim LeYordim. Shekein Derech Eretz LaHazkir Aliyah Kodem Yerida. What's the Rashbam saying? What's the Rashbam saying here? He says Ein LeDakdek B'Mashahikdim Olim LeYordim.
They didn't literally go up first and then go down. It's just
not nicer. Shekein derech eretz, not in terms of derech eretz. You're right.
It's the way.
What's the way that we speak? When you're saying when you
up and down,
right? When you, that's the way we speak. You say your mother says Yehuda, go bring down the laundry room upstairs. You go, Ma, I'm going up and down the whole time. Up and down the whole time going there. Right? And you may be upstairs. That's where we speak, up and down. Every language. Check every single language, and that's where you speak. Okay? Hebrew, Olim V'yordim. Olev V'yored. And Olev V'yored. English, up and down. Anyone else? French? What do they say in French? No one? No French? Yeah. Oh, you're in Spanish. Spanish Moroccan. Where's Benis? No. Anyone? Any other language? Anyone speak any other language here? What'd you say? Which means? Up and down. How about that? We didn't even plan this, right? We didn't plan this before. So every single language is up and down. Says the Rashbam, I understand, why is Rashi making a diuk here? Why do you have to bring the measure? There's no difficulty here. That's the way we speak, up and down. Rashi knew that also. Rashi in French knew that. In old French. Why do you think Rashi has to make a diuk here and bring this medrash? Why is it difficulty that Rashi feels that there's still a difficulty here? What do you say? I can think of two. Oh, good. In other words, the language of up and down, we use the language up and down because it's from, why do we say up and down? Because that's our perspective. Right? We're from here. We're down here. So we're always going up and down. First we go up and then down. When you talk about angels, the nature will be different. It's going to be down and up. Okay? Possible. I think there's a better answer here. There's a better answer here. What's the pasuk talking about? What's
a dream?
So
why do we have to follow it?
A dream. So it's a dream.
Yeah, but it could be that
Hashem is talking to him. Well, he will talk to him, not yet, but he's now it's a vision. So what is a dream? What do you say, guys?
What is that no meaning?
Huh?
It's a dream. Who cares? It's just a dream.
It's a dream.
Yeah.
When you, let me ask you something. You ever have a dream that you tell over to one of your friends?
Oh, dreams are always out of order.
Great. So?
It makes sense that they're going up and
down. No. That makes sense.
It's possible.
Significant.
Yaakov
would think that.
Huh?
Yaakov would think that they're going up and down.
It's distorted. Maybe it's actually down is up and up and down.
Oh. In other words, when you're telling over a dream, right, dream always has these weird things in it. Right? If you're telling over a dream, you're going to tell it over, like, with all the weird stuff. Right? You're going to say it, and they actually were going, you know, down and up, up and down. You're going to tell it over exactly as it happened. Up and down is like, it's a euphemism. But if you're telling over a dream, you're going to tell it exactly what happened. It doesn't make sense. For angels to be going up and down. So that's because it's a dream, that's where Rashi feels you have to make a deal. Yeah, Max.
Wasn't it that they were going up instead of coming down?
It should be angels coming from heaven should be coming down first.
Isn't it because it's the angels of the time of Abraham? Because they were stuck for 158 years?
No, so that's what Rashi explains. The question is, why does Rashi feel a need to explain that these are angels that were with him in Eretz Israel? So that's the deal.
Wasn't it because they were stopped? This is the time that they were able.
Right. So that's right. So what we're asking is, why did Rashi feel a need to explain that? Why is the question difficulty in speaking in the same language up and down? That's the way we normally speak. So Rashi is giving the answer of why where these angels came from, that they're going up first and then down. You understand that? When we have a dream, you have weird stuff in your dream, right? For example. Joseph, you want to tell us about last night's dream?
Uh-huh.
It's good. It's fine. Just keep it PG rated. So, for example, last night I dreamt, none of your business, but I dreamt last night that I ate a whole bag of marshmallows. And then I couldn't find my pillow this morning. Anyway, so So that's why the Torah feels, Rashi feels a need to make that comment. Now, what's the message? Okay, when you're learning Rashi, yeah, what's the difficulty? Why is Rashi going to be commenting? And the question is, what's the message of the Medrash? What's the message of this Medrash? What's the idea? What's the take home for me? What's the take home of this Medrash? That the Malachim that guided him in Chutzlah, in Eretz Israel, they're going up, and new Malachim are coming down. What's the idea? What's the message for us?
Yeah, going to watch him.
Huh?
They're going to watch him.
They're going to watch you. Meaning? Why can't the same angels?
You just said they can't regard this world.
Okay, that perhaps the angels can't. Why do you need different angels?
Different
challenges.
They're not holy. It's different challenges.
The angels of Eretz Yisrael can't help you in Chutz La'aretz. You need different kind of challenges. You need a different shmirah. You need a different protection when you go to Chutz La'aretz than when you are in Eretz Yisrael. And that again is fits in with this theme of the entire parsha. So what happens? Now Hashem speaks to him. And Hashem says, "Vine Hashem nitzav alav," God is standing over him, "Vayomer, ani Hashem Elokei Abraham Avicha Elokei Yitzchak. I am the God of your fathers, Abraham and Yitzchak. Ha'aretz et ha'asher asher atah shochev alecha, v'cha etnen al zarecha." This land that you are lying, on which you are lying, I am going to give you and your children. V'haya Zaracha kafar ha'aretz, your children be like the dust of the earth. Ufarak se yama v'kem et zafar v'nekva. V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpos adam av zarecha. V'ine anochi imach. U'shmarticha v'cho asher tebeich v'ashim osicha al adam azos ki lo azavcha ad asher im asisi es asher dibarti lach. Hashem says, I am going to protect you. I am going to bring you back to this land. And I'm not going to abandon you until I keep my word. That's what Hashem promises him in this dream. Leo, yo, you with me? Right? Hashem promises that I'm going to protect you while you're in Chutz La'aretz. Yaakov wakes up, skipping a little bit. And then it says, Vayidor Yaakov neder lemor, repasuk chav. And Yaakov makes a neder. Okay? What does he say in his neder? He says, "Im Yelokim imadi, if God's going to be with me, Ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi olech, and He'll protect me on this path that I'm going. V'nasan li lechem lechol beger leboshen, He'll give me food, bread to eat, and clothing to wear. V'shavti v'shalom abeis avi, v'hayasham li lelokim, and He'll return me to my father's home, and God will be for me a God." Va'eben azos, this rock, asher samti matzeva, that I place as an altar, yeh beis alokim, it will be the house of God, v'chol asher titein li, aser esren ulach. And everything that He gives me, I will give back one tenth. Maaser. What is difficult about this neder that Yaakov's making?
It's some conditional.
Huh? Yeah, what is this condition with Hashem? You make a condition with Hashem. If you're good to me, then I'll do X, Y, and Z. God, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. What? This is the way we negotiate with God? Does this make sense? What's difficult? What's the difficulty even before you get to that? What's the difficulty before you get to that? Hashem appeared to him in a dream. And what did he say to him?
He said, "I'm going to be here."
Hashem just told you, "Yaakov, take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you back to this house. Nothing to worry about." And then he comes and makes a neder and he says, "Hashem, if you're going to take care of me and you return me and you'll clothe me and you'll bring me back, Where's the Amun and Hashem? Hashem just told you." Yeah.
Also, why would he only give a ten?
Okay. I mean, he's Jewish in the end, right?
In the end of the day, yeah.
Tenth is pretty good. Tenth is pretty good.
God's directly,
not Warren Buffett. What?
God's directly telling him, like, "I'm going to give you everything."
So what should he give? What
do you think?
He should give everything.
Yeah.
Leave himself with nothing, give everything back to God.
Oh, I'm saying
same. Why? So why don't we do the same? Everything we have is we got from God. So we Yaakov intuited that we are committed to give a tenth. That's what we are. In the end, our obligation is one tenth of what we earn. We give to charity. We do need something to live. But I hear your question. You get the problem here? Hashem already promised him, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And then he wakes up and he says, listen, God, if you're going to take care of me, then such and such. Like, what do you mean if? In. What's the if? Hashem said, you can't get any better guarantee than that. Some friend or parent or someone making a deal with you. So the Medrash here is actually two. The Medrash here, Medrash Rabba, Parsha Ayin. There's a machlokas here. Rabbi Yavol, Rabbi Yochanan. Chad Amar Misuresa Siya Parsha. V'achrin Amar Al Hasedu Nemra. There's a machlokas between these Tanayim. One says Misuresasi. What does that mean, Misuresasi Aparsha? Anyone know what that means?
It's a little bit of a difficult word.
Like Sarisim?
Yeah. Which means? Saris? Like you're saying Saris, like a eunuch? That. Yeah. Well, it's connected to it actually. It is connected to it. It's out of order. It's out of order. Misuresis means the Torah here is out of order. It should really have been. In other words, what really happened is the reverse happened. First, Yaakov made the neder, and then Hashem appeared to him and says, "I'm going to be with you." Then it makes sense. It's like a tefillah. Im ya Hashem elokim, and then Hashem says, "Yeah, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you."
Hashem appeared in the dream.
The condition is still there.
In other words, he davened before the neder happened before the chalom. Misuresis he. It's not in order, right? The Torah is not necessarily written in the order. Yeah.
But the condition is still there.
Okay, but we still have the second question of the condition. So that according to one man, the Omer, really the parsha is in a different order. According to the other man, the Omer, it's written in that order. So how do you explain this? It says, man, the Omer, I'll say to Nemra, ma mekayim, I'm five lines down. Ma mekayim iya melokim emadi, alakach amar Yaakov, im kaimu li hatanaim shamar li, leyot imi ulishamreni aniya kaim et nidri. Meaning, he's not doubting. The im doesn't mean if. Im means when, ka'asher. When you fulfill Hashem that promise, and you bring me back, then I will fulfill my neder. I am making neder. In other words, I know it's going to happen. I'm making a neder. It's just time dependent on when I return here. I'm not chayav to do the neder until I come back here. And at this point, Yaakov doesn't know that it's going to be 20 plus years later that he's going to make his way back to this place. And he's going to then make this a matzeva, beit kel, and he's going to give a tenth of his earnings. So he's not making he's not saying, I'm only going to accept you as a god if you do these things. But it's all part of a tefillah. It's all part of a prayer. Now, what I want to share with you for basically the remainder of the time, which not so much time we have together, I want to share with you this unbelievable mahalik. Just continuing along with how we started. This was sent over by Rav Soloveitchik in 1943 when I was in the Grus Kola. I had one of the guys in the Kola, his name is, now he's a rabbi, he's actually the rabbi in Krakow. His name is Rabbi Avi Balmo, he lives half the year in Efrat, half the year in Krakow. And he had notes from his grandfather, from Rav Soloveitchik Shir, he had, whatever, these handwritten notes that he shared with us, and this was what the Rav said on this parsha, which is... amazing. When you read it, when you hear what the Rav says, can't really read it any other way. So the Rav said as follows. What Yaakov is expressing here, the tefillah that Yaakov is expressing, is actually there's three parts to Yaakov's tefillah or neder, and his concerns capture the three main concerns of every Jew who goes, you know, every immigrant Jew. And I have to understand, Rav Soloveitchik, you know, left, he grew up in Poland, then made his way to Berlin, and then he comes to, reunites with his family, who he had been separated from many years, in America. He comes to America in 1941. Coming to America in 1941, so there was tremendous difficulties. This is already even so much, American Jews already had somewhat acclimated. But that generation, those children, the children that Rav Soloveitchik taught, many of those were children of immigrants, Jewish immigrants that came, either those who escaped from Europe right before the war, or those who came a little bit earlier, in the turn of the century, to New York. And what Soloveitchik describes is that Yaakov is expressing the great fears of every Jew, but it's not just a Jew, it could also be any kind of immigrant, refugee, if you will. I don't want to get political right now. But every immigrant Jew that comes to a foreign country has three major concerns. The first concern, as Yaakov says here, he says, Im yelam kimim adi, ushmarani baderach hazeh asher milchi halech. The first concern is a concern for his physical safety. A Jew comes and goes. He leaves his home. He leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to the Chutz La'aretz. He's afraid, most first and foremost, for his own physical safety. Him and his family's physical safety. The second thing, v'nasan li lechem le'achol v'eged l'bosh, give me food and clothing. The second major concern is, how am I going to make a living? Let's say I'm even safe, but how am I going to make a living? How am I going to make a living? But for a Jew, the challenge to make a living is not like any other immigrant. Because as making a living, especially the turn of the century in the United States or Canada, and that is, what's the great difficulty?
Shabbos.
Now it's like, you can't even imagine what life was like. But your grandparents or great-grandparents, when they came to America, and it was a 7-day work week, or 6 days, the off day was Sunday. Everybody worked on Shabbos. So how can I make a living and still be true as a Jew, keep Shabbat? And the last concern, when I'm going to go through these three things, is the Shavti b'shalom al beis avi v'haya shavu l'elokim. The last thing, and perhaps the most important thing, is how can I remain true and committed that God is still my God? That I am still, God is going to return me to my place, and I'm still connected to Hashem. I still have the same values and ideals. So let's just go through these things just to flesh it out, as Rav Soloveitchik did. Maybe just change it to be a little bit more contemporary. The Jew is always the outsider. First, safety. Right? Safety first. The Jew is always the outsider. The Jew is always persecuted. His life is always in danger. And we think that even in America it's not going to happen. And it still happens. Now, one of the ridiculous things about, I find, and maybe you'll agree with me, but there are people who say we have to protest anti-Semitism. We have to protest hate. Okay? So how does one do that? And you think about some of the ways we do this, we try to fight hate. To me, it sounds a little pathetic. Or not just a little. Like you put signs up. Right? Signs up. Don't hate me. I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. Sign up. I'm a nice guy. Why are you? I'm no different than you. I also like the Yankees. I also like the Pirates. Why are you hating on me? Like, what? Say, people say, let's, you know, we have to fight hate. And we do, but is that the way to do it? Is that the way to do it? Like, isn't it like a little pathetic? Jews have this thing they like the underdog. We like being the underdog. They're Jews who like the fact. They sort of wait for the fact that we're getting, like, beaten up and killed. That's when they feel like, okay, now that's good. Now, because I can protest anti-Semitism. The Jews have just lived to protest anti-Semitism. And they don't like winning. They don't like winning. They don't like when Jews are winning. They don't like when Israel's strong. They don't like when Jews are strong or Jews fight back. That's not the way Jews do. We like getting beaten up. They're uncomfortable with the fact that they can have a strong Jewish state. It's like that yeshiva bacher back in Poland during the time of the Polish Revolution. It's actually yesterday was Polish Independence Day. So so the Cossacks came and trying to squash the Polish Revolution. They break into yeshiva, right? And they start slaughtering the Jews. And there's one guy, one yeshiva bacher, he's there, and he sees this Cossack approaching him with a sword. And so he gets up and he stands up because he's going to make a bracha and Berachas HaMitzvah. Bracha to Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. HaMikadesh es Shimcha B'ra. Right? He makes the bracha on Kiddush Hashem. And then just as about the guy is going to take his sword and cut his head off, the other Cossacks say, "Yo, Frank, come, lunch break." So he's like, okay. And he leaves. And like the Jews is there and he's like, Anyway, so that's how some people live their lives. Some Jews believe that's it's a bracha levatol if we don't get killed. So the Jew, when we came, Jew first is concerned about safety. And so that's what Yaakov is davening for. Please Hashem, protect us. Second thing, lechem lechov begelo bosh. A Jew's word, as we mentioned, Jews worried about livelihood. How many Jews had to choose between their job or Shabbos? I would posit that if you're sitting here in yeshiva today, and even the guys who are supposed to be here are not here, I imagine most of their grandparents as well, chose the side of Shabbos over Parnassa. Because most of those who chose Parnassa over Shabbos, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, are either no longer Jewish or not affiliated. That's my guess, that the majority of your grandparents, great-grandparents, whoever was that generation who had to make that choice, they chose, and that's why you're here. That's why you're still connected. Unfortunately, many, many chose the other way, and I'm not here to judge them. It was an impossible situation because you also needed to eat to live. If I don't have a job, how are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? Right? It's a pretty strong argument that maybe because nefesh. If I'm going to starve to death. But the challenges of earning a parnasa, Now today, Baruch Hashem, we don't have those challenges. We don't have those challenges, but there are challenges, there are other kinds of challenges. Of, do I remain true to my beliefs? Do I choose a job where I have to think that we had a student here. Whose father came and spoke to Yeshiva. He's from LA. His father's name is Baruch Cohen. And he told this amazing story, which was made into a viral video by Rabbi Yoel Gold. Baruch Cohen, he was in a mid-level law school. Mid-level law school, this top law firm contacts, whatever, he applies for a job, and this top law firm, which is a real WASPy firm, contacts him and says he wants to, they want to come to the law school to interview him for a possible position. And now he, throughout law school, never ever took off his kippah. He studied it, he was studying the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva. And he was debating, should I wear my kippah, not wear my kippah for this job interview? And he felt it was justified that for an interview, you know, that there shouldn't be any kind of bias, that he wouldn't wear his yarmulke. And he goes into the interview, and he meets this guy in one of the offices in the law school, and he's sitting there, and a guy walks in to interview him, and the guy that's interviewing him has a big kippah on his head. And he looks at him, and he says, "Where's your yarmulke?" And he goes, "You're a sellout, not interested." He's like, "What?" Like, he goes, "Why do you think a law firm like us would be interested in you? Because I met you at some kind of, they had some kind of event in the college, and I met you, and I thought, wow, like you're wearing the yarmulke. I thought like you're." A guy who sticks to his guns, sticks to his ideals, but I see now you're willing to sell out for a job. So you're not interested. And it was like such a moment of, and he said from that moment on that he always wears the yarmulke. He's a very successful lawyer in Los Angeles, and never took his yarmulke off since then. Don't have time for one of the jokes. I have three here. Again, the challenges of keeping your identity when trying to learn Parnassus. This guy's driving through Chinatown and he sees all these dry cleaners. And then he sees one of them says, "Lars Svensson Dry Cleaning." Lars Svensson Dry Cleaning in the middle of Chinatown? He goes, "I gotta check this out. Well, I don't know what's going on here." So he goes in and he sees this little Chinese guy behind the counter. He says, "Excuse me, why is this called Lars Svensson Dry Cleaning?" He says, "Because the owner is Lars Svensson." He goes, "And is the owner here?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Where is he?" He's talking to him. He goes, "You're Lars Svensson?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "How'd you get such a name?" He goes, I came in on the boat in Ellis Island, and there's this big Swedish guy in front of me, and he goes up to the counter, and they say, "Name?" They go, "Lars Svensson." They go, "Okay." They stamp him, and they go, "Next." And it was my turn. They go, "Name?" And I said, "Same thing."
So,
it's one of the great challenges is how do you keep your name and your identity? Finally, Vayashem Li Lelokim, the most important thing, and this really should spend the most time on, we don't have too much time. That is, the most important thing is the prayer that I want to remain true to my ideals. That I'm going to Chutz La'aretz. And even if I can keep Shabbat. And even if I don't have to sell out in order to earn a parnasa. Even if I'm kept safe, I don't want to be influenced by my surroundings. I don't want to give up any of my ideals. This is the most difficult thing. Because every single one of us, I remember my Rosh Hashiva in Israel, he used to say, every dollar that you have is a portion of it is tainted from media, from Hollywood, from the world of sin. We are on many levels we are living a life that is more non-Jewish than Jewish. That the things that we really aspire to be, the people that we look up to. If we had a free day, what would we spend most of our waking hours doing? It's no different than our non-Jewish neighbor. And that's the influences that have seeped into our lives. So here's listen to this thing. This is the unbelievable thing that the Rav said. What happened? So this is Yaakov's tefillah. This is Yaakov's deepest tefillah to Hashem. And then later on in the parsha, after spending all this time, in fact, the tefillah is, I don't want to be influenced by Lavan. That's how Rashi says. Shelo elmad mitarkei Lavan. I'm asking you, Hashem, v'shavti v'shalom, that I won't learn from Lavan's ways. What happens later on in the parsha? This is unbelievable. Yaakov spends 20 years there, right? He marries his wives, Leah and Rachel. He has children. He becomes a very wealthy man. And then finally, the Malach comes to him, which Yaakov calls out his wives to the field and says, listen, we have to go now. We have to leave this place, and we have to do it right away. Why? Because the Malach appeared to me. Vayomer Eli, listen to this. This is Perek. Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is unbelievable. V'yomer Eli Malach Elokim B'chalom. Once again, Yaakov has a dream, and in the dream, the Malach of Hashem appears to him and says, "Yaakov, v'yomer Hineni, here I am." V'yomer says the Malach, "Sana Inecha Urei, look out. What do you see? Kol ha'atudim ha'olim alatzon akudim nikudim uvrudim. What do you see in your dream? You see all the speckled." Stripe, sheeps that mounted the flock, the ring, what do you see? You see the sheeps cohabitating, all the different kinds of sheeps that you've been involved with. Continues the Malach of Hashem and says, Ki ra'isi es kol asher lavan oseh lach. Look what Lavan has done to you. Look what Lavan has done to you. When you now dream, what is the vision that you see in your dream? You used to see angels. You used to see spiritual things in your dreams. Now what do you dream about? You dream about the sheep. You dream about the wealth. Where's my next dollar going to come? Where's my next deal going to come from? That's what you're dreaming about now. Look what's become of you. Look what Lavan has done to you. Anochi Akel Beis Kel Asher Mashak Tesham Matzeva. I am the God from Beit Kel, to where you made that Matzeva. Asher Nadarti Lisham Neder. You made a Neder there. Ata Kum Tzeim in Aretz Azos. Bishul Eretz Malaret Techa. Remember that Neder you made? That if I have to protect you from the influences of Lavan, I have to make sure you come back safe. It's time for you to go home. Because when your dreams have changed, from spiritual matters to matters of material things, that's the most important things in your life. It's time to get out. Get out and get out quick and go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's Hashem keeping His promise. That's Yaakov's deepest desire fulfilled, even after all those other things start to seep in, to creep into his life. My friends, we have to realize the influences of our surrounding culture. We have to realize what's really, really important, what really makes us who we are. and recognize it. Because when you don't recognize it, that's when it's the greatest danger. But when you know, okay, this is something I have to do. I have to do it. And it's only because of Yaakov. It's only because that tefillah that he, that tefillah's arvus that he did. We gotta end. Because he was metaking, he waited till he went to Chutz La'aretz, to that place of darkness. And dafka in the darkness, in the night, when things look bleak, that's where he prayed. And it's that that gives us a key, and that which gives us the ability to withstand all the outside influences, all the dangers, physical and spiritual. It's only because of that that we have a key. But we have to have that same desire as Yaakov has. We have to want it like Yaakov wanted it. We have to follow in his footsteps. We have to recognize and be wary of those influences and dangers. Only if we're cognizant of them, we'll be able to be successful. And one of the most important ways of doing it is the tefillah of Arvis, of Ma'ariv, Arbit. That is when it's most difficult is the nighttime. The challenges of night in Chutz La'aretz. All the other things that go on. When you're at work, you're in school, okay, you're busy, you're doing, your mind is occupied, but when nighttime, that's when you have to be connected to Hashem in the deepest way. I'm telling you, the difference between guys who make it and don't make it is, are they committed to Marv when they go to Chutz La'aretz? Shacharis, okay, it's important davening. I'm not minimizing Shacharis or Mincha. But maybe all those tefillot, the tefillot of Arvit is needed the most in the culture of Chutz La'aretz. And if you're committed to Marv with a minion, then you're going to be good. Have a good evening, guys.